This is the KNBR Podcast Network. Time now for Pauly's Podcast, featuring Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show on KNBR, the sports leader.
All right, everybody, we are back. We are live. And frankly, we've never been better on the Pauly Mack Podcast. It's funny, I was on the air today, moments ago, on Thursday morning, June 8th. Look at how brain damaged I am. July 8th. And sitting there on the air talking to Murph, and I said, you know, it's funny there. I learned something last week when Shannon Kaler and creative Tony Ryan sat in and did the KNBR morning show. I learned live on the air in front of everybody that there was indeed and still is a Shannon Kaler community, because they all stood up as one last week to applaud and defend my friend, my co-host. He is Shannon Kaler. Welcome back to the Jockcast, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Paul. I need defending. What did I do? What happened?
People want to attack Kaler, and then I got to intervene and say everybody back off. But you remember last week when I said we were live on the air doing the actual show, and I said, the Shannon Kaler community is remember that? Like, they started to rally around you.
Well, I wish they'd come and see me sometime, my community. I mean, I haven't heard from my community in a long time.
Kidding aside, it's funny. I know, Shannon, you do live, your real community in real life is up in Petaluma,
which also
happens to be my mom's community. And I was up there with her, I think it was last Friday. We had lunch. And dude, when we finished lunch, I'm going to get circle this big back to your community.
Okay,
and
good.
My mom's community. Bro, we finished lunch. We were stuck in a mid-afternoon traffic jam in Petaluma. You believe that?
Oh,
it's getting out of control. Your community is out of control.
You gotta get your community under control.
You gotta lie. You gotta get everything straightened out, Shannon.
And now you're under control. Bum, bum, bum. And now you're under control.
Ba-dum, totally. Bum. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were trying to get away from the city, and then you found yourself in just yet another traffic jam.
The bottlenecking is outrageous. It's a terrible Coke bottle bottleneck every afternoon. Yeah.
And you don't expect it in Petaluma, but it's real. The S is real up there.
Well, we basically narrow it down to two lanes because we don't want anybody coming up and bothering us while we're, you know, eating our chickens and butter. That's basically
a lot of time. Right. Well, shout out to the Petaluma Farms of yesteryear.
Where the hay meets the bay, Paul.
Bro,
that's what
we say.
Great
phrase. Great phrase.
Thank you.
Well, today we're going to let the hay meet the bay on the podcast because Creative Tony's decided without our approval to just take time off again. So he doesn't show up. And you know what I'd like to say in his absence? That's fine. It's all the more room for you and I to make our thing happen. You know what I mean?
No, it helps our bond. But it is funny how he just pieces out and doesn't tell anybody.
I didn't know. What do I know?
You know,
go ahead, Shannon.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's kind of funny. Like, it was kind of like Darren Ruff last night. We're recording on the 8th. I didn't even know Darren Ruff was missing for a while. And I know that he had been back just a little bit, but it's kind of amazing. He just showed up, busted a homer, and it's like, all is well. I'm fine. I'm still here. I was like, where's Darren Ruff been?
Darren Ruff is yet another one of these guys that proves the point that Farhan's methodology is quite effective. I mean, I was talking about this today during the show. You know what I mean, Kales? I was saying, pardon me, that at this point, I really don't question anything they're doing.
No,
I don't. And I mean, I think that they've given us enough evidence that they know what they're doing. It's a different kind of baseball than we've been used to seeing. And frankly, I was resistant to it, but we're going into the All-Star break in a couple of days here, Shannon, and the Giants have the best record in baseball. Let's be honest. None of us saw that coming, but this is why I just say, you know what, Farhan, go do your thing, buddy. Do your thing.
I believe it's Mac Dre who said, get stupid. Am I right about that?
It's possible. Yeah.
Get something stupid. Like that. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of stupid. It's
right.
Just so ridiculous.
Right.
And unthinkable. Like you and Murph were saying this morning, it's kind of like not one person, nobody, right? Like, oh gosh, what's the, who does the Baba La Bibala song?
Oh, that's, well, David Lee Roth, just a gigolo?
Yeah, but he's covering.
Oh, it's an old, I'm not sure. It's
Well, anyway, nobody. Nobody cares for me.
Bye-bye. Very good, Shannon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, nobody thought that. It's really pretty. It's a real gift for everybody that we actually get to watch something exciting through the summer, especially after last year when we only got 60 games. And now we've got something really thrilling going on. I wanted to ask you, Paul, you know, Farhan has made some moves. He's brought some people up. Beattie is back. And I want to know if you give a damn or, you know, do you care or are you excited about him? Because I know that he dueled a while back and you got excited about that.
Well, because he outdueled Jacob deGrom.
Right.
And he did it in San Francisco. I think it was, is that 2018, 2019? It was a couple seasons ago. And it was probably the high point of his pro baseball career so far. I believe, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think Beattie pitched 8 innings that night. And just he just shut the Mets down. So that was a glimpse at what we could get from Tyler Beattie. Now he's coming off Tommy John. Let me address all your stuff here, Shannon. And by the way, you are listening to the Paulie Mac podcast. Paulie Mac, Shannon Kaler, no creative Tony today. And frankly, we're celebrating that.
But I gotta celebration.
Say, it is celebration of our freedom today. Today we are liberated from the clutches of the the way he rules with an iron fist. It's nice to get away from him for a one jock cast. I got to be honest.
Well, the weight of the fish just sort of, it bogs me down every time.
I know it does.
Like,
I
do we have to hear more fish? Do we have to?
Well, he demands it, Shannon. And let me ask you this. What are you going to do, you personally, you, Shannon Kaler, when the fish tour starts up again and then he's going to try to convince you to go to a show? Are you prepared to either go to the show with Tony and have a bad night in your life or just to placate him, you go to the show and then you don't have a good time? Or do you just reject him and say, no, I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. I'm not going to fish. How are you going to handle that?
I don't know. I feel like if I really try to focus at the show, I could really embrace the swells, as Tony says. Like sometimes he'll say like, oh, here comes another big swell. And, fish fans love a swell. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
So if I can really focus and try to enjoy it, maybe I'll survive. I don't know.
Maybe you should ask. I'm only kind of half kidding here. But maybe you should ask Robbie Robertson to write some songs for Fish.
No. Now, look, if Fish called the Stone Foxes and said, you want to open for us, you know the answer would be YES, Paul.
Oh, hell yeah.
I like to kid a lot, but at the same time, noodling has its limits. And we agree on that.
Well, I think it's always got to start. It's all got to start with the songs and you go from there.
Nailed it.
You got to have the songs.
I love that you preach that. Well, starts with the songs.
It's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And I've taken on a greater and greater appreciation for songwriting, just the craft. Like the older I'm getting, the more appreciation I have for it. But yeah, I don't care whether it's the Allman Brothers or it's the Grateful Dead, the kind of forefathers of this. I don't even like the term jam band. You never hear me say that. I don't like that term.
Yeah.
Because to me, it implies bands that can't write songs. That's what that says to me.
I think that's fair.
And that's why, so I'm saying like the guys that actually originally kind of messed around with this format were guys that were great songwriters. And then they jammed out of the great songs. Anyway, Shannon, like we do on the podcast, we'll swerve around. I want to go back to your Tyler Beattie thing.
Yeah, get back to the Beattie.
I will. And I'm going to say that, yes, I give a damn. You asked me if I give a damn.
Okay, good.
This is another kid that we spent many springs in Scottsdale talking to, and first of all, he's a good guy. We like the guy.
You've talked to him
many times. He's out of New Hampshire, I believe, and he's just a good guy. He's a first round draft pick, so the expectations are very, very high. But you look and you see it's getting kind of late now. Like, we need to see something from him soon. And to me, this is an opportunity. They're going into Washington this weekend. And for Giant fans hearing this podcast on the weekend, just know that we're recording this Thursday. But Shannon, all signs indicate that we will see Tyler Beattie in this series. It's one of those deals where he holds the keys to his own future, kind of like Garoppolo. Like, if you want to, save your job or cement your job by simply performing well. And I feel like Beattie, if I'm Tyler Beattie, Shannon, I look at this as an opportunity. And yeah. I do want to see something from him. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to see more Logan Webb. That guy's got stuff. And he was starting to show us what he had before he got injured. And I would love to see him get some more starts. It would be, I think it would be a shame, a damn shame, if he ended up just being kind of a long relief piece that got forgotten at some point. I feel like he could be a part of the rotation. I'd rather see Logan Webb than see Johnny Cueto.
Wow. As a starter or coming out of the pen?
As a starter.
Yeah.
I feel like Johnny Cueto, I know they're going to score 4 runs. I know it.
Yeah. Right. You know, this is the time, Shannon, where fans are going to start saying, okay, the Giants are good enough. They're going to be in the pennant race. What do we need to really cement ourselves as a squad? I think what you're hearing over and over is arms, either a lockdown starter or a guy who's a real closer who can really finish games with confidence. And it's interesting because that's the one thing I don't think we've seen Farhan do. He certainly hasn't brought in like a big name piece, but he's brought in pieces like of guys like that. Just he plugs in that get the job done. Do you think they need like an established name closer?
I kind of don't. I really love the 1-2 punch of Rodgers and McGee. And I know that probably on their own, you know, if Rodgers was another hard throwing, you know, gas and maybe a slider kind of guy, and then it went into McGee, then it wouldn't work. But they complement each other so well. The looks are so different that I think, you know, McGee's a one-trick pony. It's fastball, 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 fastball. It's going to be 95, 96. It's not going to be 99. He's not going to freak you out. But there's movement, and he's throwing strikes. And that's the other part that Farhan and all those guys make sure of, is if they're bringing someone in, it's going to be a strike thrower. So I think the submarine, I just love watching Tyler Rogers.
Like, me too.
Throwing 80. And then here comes McGee with 95. That's a pretty beautiful duo. I think, like you said, starters are really where my head is at.
Okay.
And I don't know if they necessarily need a Scherzer or something like that. But as I said this, I think, last week when we somehow took over the morning show and somehow Tony and I were allowed to be involved. I don't understand that.
That was a lot of fun, man. We had a good time.
It was really fun. But yeah, all I need is a Brad Penny kind of guy.
Right. No, it's not a bad call, Shannon. Hey, let's do this, Shannon. You know, I'm looking at the clock and I realize our friend Steve Moskowitz is knocking on the door.
So
why don't we let Steve in, our friend and our podcast sponsor, and we'll have a chat with Steve, and then we'll come back and we'll do another segment as the Polymac podcast continues on the podcast network, if I may. KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader. And we are back on the Polymac podcast. This one being recorded on Thursday morning. It's July 8th. We are on the brink of the All-Star game next week. But before we get into that, I want to bring in Steve Moskowitz, our good friend, our podcast sponsor. Really happy to continue this relationship into another year on KNBR. And Steve, you know, we've been having this conversation now really for a couple of weeks about ERC. And, you know, today I thought maybe it'd be helpful, Steve, if you could address some of the common, you know, misconceptions that people have about ERC and why they think they might be prevented from actually getting that money.
And there's a lot of your listeners have called me about other things. And then I'll say, hey, while I have you on the phone, let's talk about ERC. Remember, ERC is Employee Retention Credit. That's the government giveaway where if you're otherwise qualified, you can get up to $33,000 per employee over the 2020-2021 time period. And this is a grant. That means it's a gift. It's not a loan. You never have to pay it back. You don't have to ask for forgiveness. You can spend it or do whatever you want with it.
Right.
It's just a government giveaway and you want to qualify. But there are some qualifications. And what's happened is there's an awful lot of misinformation or outdated information on the internet. Just this morning, before I called in, somebody called up and I asked him about ERC. He says, no, he didn't qualify because. I said, no, that was the old law. because what's happened is, to give you some idea, originally when PPP and ERC came out, you had to choose one or the other. And you couldn't have both. And that's what this guy thought. I said, no, that changed. You can have both now. There's some qualifications though, but the fact that you have PPP doesn't in and of itself stop you from getting ERC, although we have to put it in calculations. Next, something else that causes an awful lot of confusion. There's different ways to qualify. One of the ways is that you're fully or partially closed. And that's where people really fell up. I'll tell you, I was still working during the pandemic. I said, but wait a minute, were you partially closed? And we talk about, here's the perfect example of a partial closure.
Yeah, yeah.
Our poor beleaguered restaurants.
Yes.
The government says, you know, it's okay to do takeout. It's okay to do delivery, but you can't have in-person dining. That is a partial closure. So what happens with the ERC, you basically qualify in one of two ways. You're either fully or partially closed, or you meet certain mathematical requirements. Okay. But if you're partially closed, we don't even have to bother with the math. You're entitled to it. So like with the restaurants, they've been at least partially closed from March of 2020 through June 15th of 2021.
Steve, do the restaurants that, because I know in San Francisco, the first thing, well, I shouldn't say the first thing, but we got to a point maybe 6-7 months ago where people were eating outside the restaurant, like in outdoor seating. Is that under the partially closed?
Because you couldn't use the dining room.
Okay.
And another example is when the government said, okay, you can let 25% in.
Yeah.
Well, that means you're 75% of your dining rooms partially closed.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
And this program is designed to help small business. So many people miss that. And again, I realize, you know, the people that I've talked to, this is a completely 100% non-scientific survey.
Yeah.
And I realize some people qualify, but a lot of, and some people don't, but an awful lot seem to qualify.
Okay.
And everybody's numbers are different, but basically it seems to me like the people I talk to, most of them qualified and most of them are getting six figures. Wow. Imagine, Paulie, if you were entitled to six figures, you read something on the internet and you decided that you're not entitled to it, but somebody that's doing this all the time says, Paulie, hey, you are entitled. You'd probably say, hey, happy day.
I'm not kidding, Steve. If I read something in the paper that said I may qualify for six figures from the government, I swear the first person I'm calling is you. I'm calling Steve. I'm texting Steve. I might even fax him, because that's the point. Steve is the man with the information. Steve, you're the guy to talk to. And this is, I think these are really important hits that we're doing on the podcast, because this whole ERC thing, you're right. I think there are a lot of misconceptions. Steve's helping clear those up as we talk on the podcast. But again, if you're listening today, perhaps you're only hearing the tail end of this, and if you're a small business owner, you got to listen to what Steve is telling you. This is designed to help you. So Steve, we'll welcome all calls, all inquiries to your office at 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's Moskowitz LLP. Call Steve at 1-888-TAX-DEAL and continue this dialogue and talk to Steve about any questions you might have. He's the man with the answers. You can also visit Steve online at MoskowitzLLP.com. That's Steve's webpage. He's been in town doing business over 30 years. We've been working with Steve for many years and we've become good friends. So we're confident that you'll get great treatment from a great guy when you call Steve. Hey, thanks so much, Steve, for checking in this week. We'll do it again next week. Your services are valuable to not only me, but our whole audience. So have a nice weekend. And thanks again, Steve.
Thanks, Paul. The pleasure is all mine.
Okay. That's Steve Moskowitz, everybody. We'll come back on the other side and we'll continue our Giants discussion on the Polymac podcast on the podcast network on KNBR 680 and 104.5.
The sports leader.
Boom. All right, we're back on the podcast. Thank you, Steve Moskowitz. Always a pleasure to talk to Big Steve. By the way, no Creative Tony this week. Some say for the better. That's being debated. Well, I'm just telling you what they're saying on the streets. That's all. And I know that when I take my vacation, the same debate will rage on. Is the Pauly Mac podcast better without Pauly Mack, 808 KNBR. Let's talk about it. In the meantime, Shannon, we will talk. We have our musical assignment coming up in just a little bit. But before we go there, Shannon, can I bounce some concepts off you that are 49er related?
Yeah. Oh, what kind of concepts are we talking? Well, like astrophysical concepts, or?
No, not quite. Although, yes, we can get into astrophysics. I'd like to.
Okay.
That's when we're not talking about the Copernican theories of mathematics.
Holy crap. What?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But first, no, I want to see, where is your head? Because I get crazy on the show when Murph and Copes or whomever starts ganging up on Jimmy G. They're beating up on Jimmy G. They're riffing on him. And I don't know. I'm starting to lose my way with all of this, Shannon. Where are you with the Niner quarterback situation? Are you looking to get Garoppolo out of here and get to Trey Lance? Do you want to see what Jimmy has for us? I guess I'm taking your temperature as we're getting closer now. You know, we'll get into August, then it's preseason time, and then it's the regular season. So let's just do a state of the union with Shannon and the Niners. Where are you? Where's your head?
Well, obviously, Jimmy G is going to start. And that's just the way it's going to be. Trey Lance is not ready. There's no way he can be ready with the Shanahan offense off the bat. The locker room belongs to Jimmy. It's Jimmy's team, which makes all this talk from Shanahan and all these other guys, you know, Shanahan on the McVay podcast, all that stuff just seems like, what are we doing? Can we just keep our thoughts to ourselves sometimes?
Totally, man.
You know, okay, you know, some things aren't helpful to others.
Don't call up other bands and say, guys, I'm writing some songs. Here's what they sound like so far. If you like one, take one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're not doing that. You're trying to protect your own stuff. Yeah.
Well, totally, yeah. And so, you know, there's part of me that just thinks, well, Shanahan was feeling comfortable. He made a mistake. You know, that happens. You know, most of the time he's very on target with his messaging. He's very good. There's also, I don't know if it's the Tony Ryan conspiracy mindset that has seeped into my head,
okay,
but I feel like there might be some sort of conspiracy going on where the 49ers are trying to make Jimmy G seem like such an underdog, like he's being beat down so much.
Who is saying this, Shannon? Where's it coming from?
This is my own conspiracy.
This is
something I've thought up.
Okay.
That I'm thinking, wow, they're coming after this guy so bad because they want him to be the underdog, and nobody loves, everybody loves an underdog. And I'm thinking, I'm going to root harder for Jimmy G. This season, I'm going to root harder for him than I ever have before because all these naysayers are out here. So I don't know. There's part of me that thinks like this is a marketing ploy, that Jimmy G will rise up and become, you know, kind of a Nick Foles character almost somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think it seems to me that I have more faith in Garoppolo's ability and potential than most people do. The one thing, I mean, I'm frankly getting tired of the same story over and over. He overthrew Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl. I mean, distilling that game down to one play is kind of crazy to me. I think there's a lot more to address, but I think Jimmy G's taking a beating, an unnecessarily savage beating, for a guy who basically just kind of walked in off the street and took us to the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, total. Like, oh yeah.
His first full season under center, the Niners are in the Super Bowl. I did not hear anybody complaining on our march to the Super Bowl that year. He loses the game, and then everybody wants to have his head on a stick. It's crazy. And the other thing is, I think that, you know, look at the NBA, for example, totally different sport and different circumstance, but I want to point out the guy, DeAndre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns. And we should talk a little NBA before we wrap up today.
Right.
Because we hit the Giants, we're doing Niners, the finals are going on. We should get into that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
DeAndre Ayton is a young big man for the Phoenix Suns, who has blossomed into this effective player. Now, my point there is, well, one thing with Wiseman makes me kind of want to see what Wiseman can become.
I know.
But it's an example, Shannon, of not running a guy out of town because he's not performing early in his career.
Right.
Don't confuse Garoppolo's age with the amount of years he's actually played on the field. My biggest concern with Garoppolo is he gets hurt. That's the thing that is a real concern to me. Like, he's only gotten through a full season one time. And there are guys, some guys in the NFL can take a beating like Roethlisberger or Brett Favre, and they'll still show up and play. Other guys can't. And so far, Jimmy has not been able to stay on the field. That's a problem. But with DeAndre Ayton, back to that example, I'm just saying, if you throw him out with the trash, you never enjoy what you're seeing now.
Right.
I want to see what Garoppolo has. And to your original point, perhaps some of this criticism and noise that's swirling around Jimmy, maybe it fuels him. Maybe it makes him perform better.
I've heard it has.
Yeah.
Juszczyk has said that Jimmy G looks pretty amazing out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. So
in OTAs, of course.
As we kind of wrap up our Niner segment today, I'm just saying, like, let's just let this thing unfold before we start crucifying Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the guy's got some good football in him. I really do.
I just want Shanahan just to remember that this is not helpful. You know, like hearing all that for him. I mean, look, he can come on with you guys. He came on and said, hey, you know, that's part of the gig. I get paid to handle this kind of criticism. I'm cool. You know, Jimmy G, by the way, has the best press etiquette of anyone. Yeah. I mean, he comes on, he always says the right thing. I'm with you. I think you said this earlier this morning too, that like, there is no way that this doesn't get to him at some point.
Oh, he knows. No, he knows. Oh, yeah.
And he feels that. And yeah. So, yeah, you're right. He'll either respond and we'll all think, oh my God, what a Cinderella story coming from nothing. They wanted to throw him out with the trash and here he is, you know, all that. Or they'll run him right out of town the first time he throws an incomplete pass.
Oh, well, and plus now, Shannon, I'm getting pissed. Like, I don't want the people that are crushing him now, I don't want them to turn around and start applauding him.
Oh.
Like, the people that want him gone, are they going to wind up cheering for him? Like, what's it going to be, you guys? Like, where are we going, you know?
You know they are. You know what that feels like? I remember when I was 13 and the Giants went to the World Series in 2002, right? I remember it was Halloween and all these people at the damn Halloween party were watching the World Series. And I looked at every single one of them and I said, you haven't watched not one Giants game all season. And now you're sitting here. You know what it did? It ruined the game for me.
Yeah.
I was like, forget this. I'm going to go eat my candy by myself.
Well, it's like, yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to go get fat over here.
I'm going to take my sack of candy and go sit alone. Hey, Kales, let's get that concludes our Niner broadcast for this week, our segment, because I do want to hit the NBA with you for a second. Just a couple quick things, and then we'll get to the musical assignment. But I guess the first question I have for you is, are you enjoying this new blood, these new teams, new faces, not only in the NBA playoffs, but now in the finals? Dude, Milwaukee, Phoenix. Are you digging it? Are you unhappy that we don't have Bronny and KD and Steph? Where's your whole head with the NBA right now?
I think it's time for some new heroes. I mean, we saw Curry and LeBron so many times, and it was awesome. And KD, of course.
Yeah.
I was so stoked when the Nets lost. And it's terrible the way they lost. You know,
I was stoked too.
Yeah. I mean, I was. And you know, no one wants to see anybody get hurt. And it's been kind of an unfortunate postseason that way. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm totally digging it. Who are some young guys that you're really enjoying outside of the center that you mentioned?
Well, probably the biggest obvious. Well, yeah, DeAndre Ayton's fun to watch. I do like him. And I think probably the biggest name out there. Well, there's two, I guess. For the Suns, you got to go Devin Booker because the guy's a point scoring machine. And then over with the Bucks. I mean, these guys aren't puppies or anything, but, you know, it's the first time Giannis has been in the finals.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Middleton. I like all these guys. I think both sides have a lot of likable guys. Now, Shannon, I'll be honest. You and I have known each other a long time now. You know, I'm not a Chris Paul guy. I'm not.
Oh, neither am I.
I do find it funny now that he's suddenly become this beloved figure. Like, oh,
totally.
It's so great to see Chris Paul. It's like, wait a minute, don't we all hate Chris Paul? Isn't he the guy that flops all over the floor like a fish out of water every time there's like mild contact?
I don't see anything to like about Chris Paul.
Right.
Now, maybe he's a Draymond character, like when he's on your team, you love him. But I don't know. I don't know about that, because like you said, he seems like a flopper and a mid-range jumper. Like, you know, I do appreciate that the Suns can shoot the mid-range jumper. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no one's done that in a long time.
Right.
But yeah, I don't need Chris Paul. What I do need is for the Bucks not to get killed on the pick and roll, and the Bucks need to score. The Bucks score, you know, average 120 points most of the time. You know, they're a pretty high scoring team, and they only scored, I believe, 105 last game.
You know what? So, yeah, go ahead, Shen.
No, I mean, we know they're going to score more. It's going to be a good series. I can't concede to CP3. It just would make me too sad.
I'm with you 1,000,000% on this. I mean, no personal disrespect, but again, I'm not a fan of the guy. However, I am a fan of Giannis. I would like to see Giannis get a ring. I believe he's like a worthy champion. And just waving to the great Lamont from Lamont and Tonelli Show, by the way, walking by the podcast recording and giving his best to the podcast community. So on behalf of Lamont, I give you a big wave. Kales, I was going to say that, Giannis is a great story in that he's a two-time MVP. The crazy thing about the Bucks to me is that if you look at the games in the last round when Giannis was hurt, Brook Lopez went bonkers. He scored 33 points one night. So it's almost like, but now when Giannis is on the floor, Lopez doesn't do that. Like, he goes back to a support playing role kind of. So I almost feel like for the sake of this whole operation, maybe no, honestly, because maybe the way to go in this series is not to funnel everything through Giannis, although he played well the other night in game one. I'm just saying, like, maybe incorporate Lopez in a more of a scorer's role. I don't know. Maybe take some of the pressure off Giannis. We're going to have to see something because we are recording this the morning of game two. Game two will be played later on today. By the time this podcast hits the airwaves this weekend, we'll have two games in the books. And even if, Shannon, the Bucks lose game two, I still don't think their series is over. I think this thing is probably going 6 or 7.
No, and like you said, all the great ones find the next person to rely on when they're getting double teamed or they're getting, you know, they're not able to get to their spot.
Right.
You know, I mean, Steve Kerr is the ultimate example of the guy that Jordan trusted. You know, they're going to have to trust Brooke with some serious shots here. You know, if Giannis can't get to his spot, if Giannis can't get his shots up, hopefully Brooke is there.
Well, Shannon, listen, man, I hope so too. And we'll watch game two tonight with some interest. And Shannon Kaler and I taking care of the podcast this week while Tony is out. So I want to kind of get into the home stretch now, the final segment of the podcast. And Kales, this time we can take our time. We don't have Tony here kind of, you know, as I like to say, clogging things up.
Oh, clogging.
Yeah, I'm going after him today. Yeah. I just decided to. What the hell? You've taken enough beatings over the years. Today it's his turn.
Yeah, thank you.
And then when I'm out, you guys will get me. It's a cycle. It goes.
The Shannon, circle of life.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cycles of life. Circles of life. now I feel like I got to come at you with a song.
Yeah, circle song. Will it go around in circles?
You know, I'm struggling with circle. I can offer you a Queen bicycle. I don't know.
No, that's close. That's,
you know,
close.
It's close enough, right? It's got a wheel in it. Enough. Yeah. Hey, Kales, what is the musical assignment today? And we can leisurely talk like gentlemen about this now because we have time.
Okay. Well, the musical assignment, which is supported by the Community Music Center, which is a nonprofit in San Francisco, providing tuition for underprivileged youth and folks in the Mission community to learn music. So it's a beautiful thing. Check out sfcmc.org.
Say the webpage again, Shen.
sfcmc.org. CMC, and anyone can sign up for lessons. Anyway, moving on with the assignment, it's going to take a little time to wrap your head around this, but what I was thinking about when Shanahan was probably saying a little too much on the McVay podcast about the Garoppolo situation and wanting Matt Stafford so bad that it didn't really look very good for our friend Jimmy G. And I was thinking about like father and son relationships, because, you know, I kind of see Shanahan as the dad of the team And Garoppolo is like his first son. And it's like, what are you doing to me, dad? You know, and there's a lot of great father son relationship songs out there by artists. You know, artists are emotional people. I mean, we definitely are. We're temperamental. We want hummus, we want coconut water, and we want tequila.
Is that right?
I think so.
It's a hell of a combination. And I do like everything on that list. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, Paul, you're a player. You're an artist. You know what you need.
I do know what I need. And I also know that it's been too long since I've had coconut water and hummus. So I might have to make a pit stop on my way home today and stock up on both.
Maybe a few J's to go along with it on the rider.
Well, that, you know what I mean? That can help with the appetite when the hummus actually comes in. Yeah. I'll eat double the hummus.
Yeah, double. Okay, back to the father-son kind of concept. So we're thinking Shanahan, Garoppolo, you know, troubles between fathers and sons, those kinds of relationships. And we all have trouble with our families and things like that. So,
right.
You know, Paul, do you want to start or would you like me to start?
Sure, I'll go. Okay. I think you should finish today. You know, it's funny because my initial thought on this, being a lifelong Bruce Springsteen fan, is to go with a Bruce song because he wrote a lot of songs about his dad. And he had a very kind of famously troubled relationship with his father.
Hmm.
And it's in a lot of his songs. It's like in a lot of his work right up through around the River album in 1980. You're going to get a lot of stuff about his dad. Actually, Nebraska's got one too. My Father's House and Mansion on the Hill are very kind of vivid songs about his dad and that whole dynamic. But there's so many of those, and I've done Bruce enough, I think, for now. So I'm actually going to do a different one, Shannon.
Okay.
Another father-son song that's I think it's extremely powerful, and it is got a beautiful melody. It's by U2, and it's called Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own. It's a song that it's a more recent song in their catalog, probably came out in the mid-2000s as opposed to their earlier stuff in the 80s, you know. And this, there are some lyrics in the song that are really interesting to me. Like Bono is singing about his father who was ill and dying at the time. So it's got a lot of emotion in it. And he's talking about like, why can't we get along when we're so similar?
Hmm.
And he goes like these, some of the lyrics off the top of my head, but he said, it's you when I look in the mirror and it's you when I don't pick up the phone. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. Meaning like I interpret that like he's adapting his dad's mannerisms. Like his old man didn't answer the phone when it would ring. Now I'm doing that. You know
definitely,
what I mean?
Definitely.
Or like when you look in the mirror and you see a glimpse of your own father's face. It's a really powerful song, Shan. So let's drop the needle on it. Sometimes you can't make it on your own. You too.
Great call, Paul. That's beautiful.
It's a nice song. Really nice song.
At first I was thinking, oh man, you know, I might have to go really dark and scary with This Is the End.
Oh, you know, good one, father. I need to kill you. Yes. Yeah. No. And it's not as dark as it gets, guys. Yeah.
I thought maybe that's not appropriate for radio, and maybe that's not what the Poly Podcast community needs in their heads.
I mean, the Lizard King's out here talking about killing his dad, you know?
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on then. Okay, because the Shanahan and Garoppolo aren't there yet.
Not yet. No,
not quite there yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually I like to, you know, go with something that I grew up with, a song that I grew up with. You know, probably around the 2011 area is sort of my wheelhouse for music. But I will say that Cat Stevens played a big role in growing up for me with my mom. And, you know, you look at my mom's LPs and there was the Art Garfunkel solo record. There was a surprising Led Zeppelin IV record.
Nice.
Yeah. And then there was like some T for Tillerman from, you know, Cat Stevens. And he has a song called Father and Son, which is really just a heartbreaker.
Give me some of the lyrics. Give me some of the...
I mean, it's maybe it's time you settle down. One day you might marry. You know, like, you know, he wants his son to live the life he lived,
yeah,
you know, but that's not the life his son wants.
This is a guy, I like this topic, you know? Today. I happen to be a father with a couple of kids too. Maybe someday they're going to write songs about me, and who knows, but I got to say, Shannon, that's a good one. Cat Stevens is a really good one. I always used to think that Cats in the Cradle was a Cat Stevens song, but it's not. I think that's Jim Croce.
Yes.
But yeah, is it Croce? But that's another father-son one, I think, too. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when we'll get together then, all of that stuff, right? Give me some more.
I forgot about the, you know, I don't remember those lyrics. That's so good.
Give me a little more of the Cat Stevens one. I'm trying to get the memory refreshed. Just give me a little more.
Let me pull them up real quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, man, because I watched a lot of Harold and Maude when I was a kid.
Bro, are you serious?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I loved that movie.
That's a great. Wow, Shannon, that's a whole new door opening for you and me, buddy.
Oh, dude, it's a great movie. So I'm trying to just find these lyrics, but you know, we'll see if I can get there. It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down.
If you
want, you might marry. Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy. You know,
dude.
That kind of stuff.
I needed that, actually. I wanted a little refresher. That's good. No, Cat Stevens, man, I think it might be the first time he's on the podcast playlist.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He's going to sit right between Biggie Smalls and Buckethead on the playlist somewhere.
We've had Buckethead. Today we got Bono. I got Cat Stevens. You know what I mean? That's why the playlist, it's a lot of diversity on this playlist.
That's right.
Public Enemy to Cat Stevens, you know?
Yeah. Before we wrap up, do you think Murph and Copes enjoyed listening to us last Friday? Or
not
did they
really.
They didn't like it, did they?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Jealousy or what do you think?
I don't know what's going on, but I think we got everyone's getting upset now. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know anymore.
Oh, geez.
No, I'm kidding, Shannon. Everybody's happy. Everybody, as Dave Letterman used to say, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Hey, Hales, I got to go. I got other things I need to do. Very important appointments and commitments I've got.
I understand.
In the life of a jockcaster. This is just one moment. Now I'm on to the next moment, the next adventure. Shannon, you be a good boy. You enjoy the mission. I see all your stuff. You got a fire extinguisher and a bell behind you. We can talk about that next week. I don't know what that means.
I got a lot of work to do, Paul.
You got framed pictures. I see booze in the background. There's a lot going on with Kaler. you have a good day. Go Giants. Go Bucks in the NBA. And
that's
Shannon,
right.
you and I will get together then. I know we're going to podcast then.
We're going to podcast then.
See you next week, everybody. Thank you, Shannon. Cheers, y'all.
See you, buddy.
You've been listening to Paulie's Podcast with Paulie Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show. This is the KNBR Podcast Network on KNBR, the sports leader.